Ashley and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 20th, 2009. I have a sponsor who's been through all the steps, and she has a sponsor, and she's been through all the steps. And then my, so that would be my grand sponsor. My great-grand sponsor I've actually heard on a speaker CD, so I think that's actually pretty cool. I think sponsorship is key to sobriety. I've been instructed to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And hopefully I won't stay drunk for 45 minutes like last time. Bear with me. I'm working on my vocabulary. I just realized 6 months ago that irritable, restless, and discontent, it was the explanation for the way I felt my entire life. So if I have a hard time explaining something, it's because I'm still trying to get all this stuff. I was raised in they fought. My parents fought, but nothing crazy. They ended up getting a divorce when I was 16. I just found out. I thought I was 17 up until about a month ago, but it was 16. Like, that matters. But anyway, so everything was cool. I mean, my dad used to take us camping. We played outside. I played sports, since I was 7. My sisters and I are stair steps. We got along fine, nothing too out of the ordinary as far as growing up. Other than that's how I felt all the time, was just irritable, restless, and discontented. Something was always wrong, that I just don't feel good. Something's not right. That's how I felt. I didn't have a hard time making friends in school. Like I said, I played sports all through school, even one semester in college. But I didn't really like being there. I didn't really like being around anyone. Or it was either I had to be the life of the party, or I just didn't want to be around. I didn't actually take my first drink until I was 17, and it was only just a few Bud Lights, I think maybe 4 or 5. And I remember feeling good. I remember feeling, man, this is awesome. I can't wait to do this again. But I can't. Because senior year is coming up, and I just signed a contract that says I will not, take drugs or drink or anything like that. I even took it so far as when Friday night I took a sip of a wine cooler and then spit it out, because I really thought that on Monday they could test me for that sip that I spit out. I don't know. So I didn't actually do anything again until I was 18, after I got out of school. And like I said, I got a soccer scholarship to just a small little university in my hometown, which I'm from Tennessee. I've only been in Virginia for a year now. And if you add that up, I was sober, dry, for about a week before I even stepped foot into AA. So I was still in Tennessee and then moved here. So I'm out of high school, and I'm about to go into college, and my dad had bought me and a friend of mine a house close to the campus, and so we had a great time there. And it was just a big blackout summer for me. From the moment I started, out of high school, started drinking, I was a blackout drinker. An instant that happened when I was 18, it took me up until about February of this past year, so 12 years later, for me to realize that I actually had something to do with a phone call that was made one night that could have hurt someone. And the whole time I thought that I didn't have anything to do with it. When I remember, I was underneath the bed with, no shirt on, and, my friends, I thought I was playing hide and go. I don't really know what I thought I was doing, but up until this February, I didn't really believe that I could have had a part in it. I don't remember anything, but I know now that I probably did. So after that happened, because the police showed up, my mom showed up, I moved out the next day. Let's get out of here. My dad can clean up that mess as far as what he wants to do at the house, because the other girl moved out as well. And I just left. I stayed in the dorms. But I quit drinking for, I think it was November of that year. So let's say July to November. I wasn't going to drink anymore, because that's what happened. The police came. I can't do that. And Every Thursday night, the soccer team would go to this restaurant and do karaoke on Thursday nights. And, of course, I want to be a part of that, and I've got to be the life of the party, and I've got to be the coolest person. So I'm going to do karaoke because, just a little secret, I don't have to have any drinks in me to actually enjoy karaoke. I love being up there. I do like to sing. So we actually kind of rocked out to some music on the way up here instead of speaker CDs this time. So I think last time it was speaker CDs that got me all worked up. I haven't even cried yet, so we're off to a good start here. I have no experience. I don't know what it was last time, but it was pretty dramatic, as it probably would have been. But anyway, so then finally it was just like, I've done this for a couple of months. I'm good. My sister came to visit. And then once again, this school is 5 minutes from my high school. I mean, it's in the town that I grew up in. And my sister came to visit and stayed with me. It's the first night I peed in the bed. I mean, I went all out, you know. It was like, I can't just have a few. And I didn't know that, you know. I didn't know that I couldn't just have a few. I thought that was part of it. I thought everybody around me was drinking until they woke up the next morning and someone said, "Do you remember what you did last night?" "No, man, I didn't, and that's the coolest thing," you know. And that's how it was at first, you know. I think, you know, I heard Billy say once that it was a lot of fun, and then it was fun mixed with trouble, and then it was a lot of trouble mixed with a little bit of fun, and then it was just trouble, you know. And that's how my drinking went. I mean, when I was in college, and I went to all different schools in Tennessee, before I finally did graduate, but I saved it for the weekend. You know, if anything early, it was a Thursday night, and I wasn't drinking on Sunday. So, I mean, why would I have a problem? I'm doing what everybody else in college is doing, you know? At least that's what I thought. And, you know, it was my friends and I, my best friend and I would get hammered. She would drive to Nashville, and this was about a 30 to 40 minute trip. And then I would sober up at the club, and she would get hammered, and I would drive back. I mean, we had ways of doing this, you know what I mean? Like, we had this figured out. And then what's funny is that was, like, when we were in college. Okay, 6 years later, we try to do the same thing. I drink before and then go to the club and try and sober up. And it didn't happen. And I don't even know sometimes how we made it home because I wasn't the one driving. I think actually, we lost a hubcap once. You know, nothing major. None of the stuff that I did was major. You know, I got one DUI. But it was that feeling that I was talking about that something's not right. I'm just irritable, restless, and discontented all the time. And that's why I'm so happy to be sober. You know, that's the best thing about it is that's, if it is there, I know what to do to get that worked out. But so that's what college was like. Weekends, you know, that was about it. And I could even go maybe a couple of weeks. And of course, it's okay to go out and drink then because, you know, I haven't had a drink in 2 weeks. When I graduated college, I had all the opportunities in the world to go and do what I got my degree in, and I had a panel of people that could have gotten me anywhere I wanted to go, and I was like, nope, I'm gonna go to New Zealand, and I'm gonna live over there for a while. So that's what I did. I moved to New Zealand, and I don't know, I think about that trip all the time, and I want to go back, you know what I mean? Like, I want to go back, and I really believe that I did a lot while I was there. I spent, you know, 2 weeks in my car, because I couldn't afford much more than that, but 2 weeks in my car, sleeping every night in the South Island, you know, seeing all, it's a beautiful country. But I drank every day, except for those 2 weeks. I went out with some people that I'd met down in Christchurch, which they had a earthquake. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but the people that I lived with are fine. They're okay. You know what I mean? Like, that's when I started drinking every single day, and it was because One of the other things that I always did was I get into relationships, and then, like, everything was great for, like, a month or 2 months, and then I was like, why am I with this person? But I can't be without this person because they'll tell, you know, they won't like me anymore, or, you know, this is the one for me, or, you know, they'll go tell all their friends all my deepest, darkest secrets, and then nobody will like me, and then nobody, you know, will be my friend. You know what I mean? And so I would just, and that's, you know, and of course I've got to have, you know, but that makes me somebody if I have, well, there's nobody here now. that, you know, that makes me somebody if I have somebody, right? So that's just the way that I thought about things. But I would stay in those relationships way longer than I should have. And those people probably, you know, way longer than we should have stayed together too. But, you know, I did a lot of damage. I hurt a lot of people and in those types of relationships, as well as family and friends. But I tried to make a relationship work, and I was very homesick, you know, just, I don't know, and that was my reason to drink. I could drink if I, you know, I get home and start drinking, or I get home and start drinking because the people I lived with started drinking. That's what they did. That's what they do, you know. And so anyway, I was spending like $30 a day, and just wanted to come home anyway. So that trip ended after 7 months, and I came home. Well, when I came home, I, you know, now I'm home. I'm supposed to be happy. You know, this is what I wanted the whole time I was in New Zealand. I'm supposed to be happy. I didn't work on a resume. I didn't do any of that stuff because, well, I've been, you know, I got certified, and, you know, it's good for another 3 years, nobody's going to hire me anyway because I haven't been doing what I was supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? They might see all this great experience, but they, you know, I didn't do anything for the past almost 2 years now. So nobody's going to hire me. I'll just go down to this restaurant where my friends work, and they've already told me that I got a job there, so I'll just start working there. It's, you know, easier, softer way. I didn't realize that that meant something pretty big in my life, too, every decision that I made. So I am a server at a restaurant, and I'm like, well, this is great in the heart of Nashville, because I'm making more money than I would have made if I had to use my degree. That's what I thought, right? You know, I mean, that's not true. yes, it does, but not really, you know. And so 9 months later, as I'm working at this restaurant, they asked me to be a manager. Well, I was going into EMT school. I was going to be an EMT. I mean, I already had this kind of path laid out, you know what I mean, but let's go and make it even more complicated, and I'm going to go be an EMT, and then a paramedic, and then a life flight nurse. That's what I'm going to do. And so I start that program while I'm serving, while I'm managing once or twice a week. And so I, you know, I get going with that, and I graduate from that program and pass my test once again, because I'm the smartest person alive. I didn't know if you guys knew that or not, but I mean, Allison was supposed to be here to talk about relationships, which probably would have done a lot of us some good, but I am the smartest person alive, so just kidding. Don't worry, I'll get way down here again. I'm just kidding. So I passed my test, and I'm set up again to have you know, to get going. And I was actually going to go into paramedic school right off the bat, EMT school, paramedic school. I mean, do the whole thing within 2 years. And, I need to get out there and get some experience. I need to find a, you know, ambulance. Maybe I'll work for Metro and get some experience. Ashley, do you want to, that's outside of work. Inside of work, I'm complaining about the fact that they don't know what they're doing and they need someone to help them manage that place. So they do come to me and they ask me if I want to be a full-time manager, and I said, well, yes, I do. It's about time you guys asked me. And so there goes the EMT career out the window. My dad probably, whatever. All that money. But I don't even know why I'm drinking. It's cold. I just burnt my tongue, too, before the meeting started, and now it's cold. So I'm done with that, and I'm managing now. You know, I'm pretty much the low man on the totem pole. I've got the crappy shifts. I But, you know, I'm part of the solution. You know, they came to me. I'm part of the solution. I'm going to help this we're going to turn things around. And, I mean, I was there for a year. This February would have been 4 years. So I was there for 3.5 years. And I managed for 2.5, full-time. And, I mean, I was part of the problem. I mean, it talks in the book about being a something of confusion rather than harmony, a producer of confusion rather than harmony. I mean, that was me. I mean, I would come in there just, you know? I mean, and, you know, I don't know if people wanted to stick around and see if they could help me or if they wanted to run, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I just thought I had all the answers. And, well, that's one thing that AA has showed me is I don't have all the answers. I look up words left and right, like circa. I didn't know what circa meant, but I do now because of AA. I got entitled big time, you know, like I work all the crappy shifts. I'm here, you know, 6 days a week on my day off. I'm here doing an order. You know, the whole time I've got like, and I talked about this morning, the lady that trained me is probably hands down she is totally doing what God has her to do, because she is awesome at her job. And, I mean, it just seems like everything that I've ever done, I've had the best, I feel like anyway, the best show me how to do it. And I've, you know, said, screw it, you know, I can do it better kind of thing, you know what I mean? And and looking back, I can see that, I mean, she was the best at what she did, and I got that opportunity to work with her, and I definitely thought I could do it better. I thought I could do better than, I was just the assistant manager. I covered the floor and I covered the bar. I had a little bit of kitchen skills, and I could jump back there if I needed to with if we got a rush, but that was my main thing, was the people out front. I got to the point where I was talking to regular customers about how bad I hated that place. You know, like I would go to tables and they'd be like, I mean, people could see how pissed off I was, pissed off all the time. And it got to the point where I was actually getting the better shifts, you know, like after a year or so, I was actually working days. But then I would, you know, I'd have to go and sit at the bar and, you know, hopefully my bartender felt sorry for me for all the crap that I was having to do for, you know, because nobody else did anything. I did everything. And so I would get, you know, I would get that extra shot, and then I would get an extra, well, I got 2 free beers anyway. And they've done away with that, which I'm glad they did, because I'm not naming any names, and I'm not saying anything. No, the majority of them might end up here later on. But, I could throw on a pity party, you know, like, and how unprofessional is that, you know what I mean? Talking to my employees about my boss, who's also their boss, you know, I was just not professional, you know, just, entitled, you know, better than, or if you didn't listen to me, well, fine, you guys don't listen to anybody, you know, just, I don't know, it's gross, it's nasty, But you know, like I said before, things just got worse. You know, I wrecked my dad's truck. I lied to him about that. I was oblivious. It wasn't a blackout. I remember it, but I was oblivious to what I had done. I mean, when I hit the back of the car, you know, thank God the police didn't come. Because you know, I thank God for everything that has happened, because I don't think that I would be here. If those things hadn't happened. But thank God the police didn't come then, because I don't know if I would have stayed in AA the first time. So anyway, that was 2 years, or a year before. The oblivious. Like, I was just kind of like, God, move. You know? Like, they got out. Like, well, you're getting out of the car, really? You're going to take some time. Like, come on. You know? I just, go. That's how I felt about that, you know? And, so, I don't know, some other things, you know, I just doing things nobody wants to be with me. All my relationships now have ended. They are all quick relationships. that's the best I could do. And that's all, whatever, it doesn't matter. you know, doing things that I said I never do, doing things that I judge people for. You know, I wasn't like that. I'm not like this. I don't do that. You know, having to listen to my employees the next morning and talk about everything that happened the night before and get resentments because I was at work. You know, I'm sitting on my porch drinking at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, because I had to work all night, you know. And just, it's just getting just bad. Just, I don't like, you know, like I said, nothing major happened, you know. If major counts as material things getting lost or, you know, stuff like that, you know, like I said, I got a DUI, but the way that I felt and the things, you know, the obsession of not only alcohol but everything else, you know, the obsession of what people thought of me, they're talking about me, everybody's talking about me, what, you know, what did I do, or why doesn't this person like me, or, you know, whatever it was, you know, obsessing about the future, you know, like here I am stuck at this restaurant and I have, excuse me, a million opportunities to go and do other things, but here I am stuck at this restaurant, you know, like that was my way of thinking, not, well, get off your ass and go do something, you know, like do what you think you should be doing. I never took the action. I was always given things, just giving it to me and then proceed, and if any of that makes sense. But March, I was wanting to put my 2 weeks in because I'd had it. I, you know, I could run the place better than the general manager. Nobody's listening to me. But let me be part of the solution still. You know what I mean? Let's get together tonight and talk about how we make this place better. And, you know, got in my car. I blacked out and woke up with the police asking me if I'd been drinking. Try lying about that one. I don't know. Of course, I have to tell the truth because I'm a good person, so, you know, always have to tell the truth. But I didn't have to go to jail then. They just took me and booked me, because booking would be jail, wouldn't it? I did my fingerprints, and I don't remember that. That one, being at the police station was a big blur, but I got pulled over at, like, 2:30, and I know I got let out at 5:30, and I did do jail time later. But we wanted to talk about how to make work better. I got my DUI that night. The next day I was off, but I had to go in and do my order because, you know, the lady that I was talking about that was so awesome showed me that I could work more efficiently and easier instead of harder. But since I knew everything, you know, I never listened to what she had to say. And so I had to go in on my day off. And usually I was there, and that's what I was thinking, too, when they let me out. I'm like, I gotta do my order. I'm just gonna walk across Nashville, because it was about, I don't know. I was determined to do my order that morning at 5:30. But anyway, so we eventually had this other conversation, and I was done, and I wanted to put, I'm done, and I'm gonna be done in June 30th is when I'm going to be done. Well, that was a Wednesday afternoon is when I'm Tuesday or Wednesday morning at 2:30 is when I got it. Wednesday afternoon is when I go home, and now I'm, you know, trying to figure out if the police are going to come get me because I've hit someone. You know what I mean? There were plenty of mornings when I woke up and I had to circle around my vehicle to see, because I was a 6 nights a week driver, 4 nights maybe pretty oblivious, almost blacked out, if not blacked out driver. So I was pretty much lucky to have gotten the one DUI. And when I got the DUI, it was, well, we're just not going to drink. I'm sure you guys have heard all that before. I'm just not going to drink and drive anymore, which I didn't, except for a couple of times. And that was later on. I go to court, and the judge says, you know, you can do, let me work, you know, because if I go and ask off for all this time, they're not going to let me have all this time off, you know. And you know what's funny is my boss even said, let me know, we can schedule your, they're not going to let me have any time. I'm going to put my, you know, I'm quitting at the end of June anyway, can I do it in July? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. Well, 2 days later, back to the Wednesday thing, 2 days later, I went pretty much with a good buzz going on to my dad's church study small group or something, you know, or whatever. But my sister had, I mean, seriously, you know, my sister had called and asked me if I could come live with her and Virginia Beach. And to back up, this was in March. In February, I was ready to take off and go to New Zealand because, one, I'm going to go do it right this time. And two, the people that I lived with just had a baby and they want me to be their nanny. And, they drank with me. I have no idea. Him and I even drank one night, drank all her vodka, and the next morning she came to me and accused me of having something to do with her boyfriend. And I'm like, are you crazy? You know, but anyway. I was like, wow, this is kind of cool, you know? Like, I'm all stressed out about getting my, because I have a dog. I got to take my dog to New Zealand, and, not, you know, how am I going to get everything else over there, you know? And I've got crazy laws about, you know, stuff. Once again, lack of a better word. So 2 days later, after I get my DUI, my sister calls, hey, will you come live with me and live with Brock? I'm about to be deployed to Kuwait. Will you come help him take care of the boys? I have three nephews. At the time, there were twins that were three, and then the oldest is, oh, God, how old is he? He's eight now, right? He was seven. I was like, sure, done, decision made. But the rest of those 4 months were still work, drive home, and drink. You know, and I knew something was missing, so there's a kid there that I worked with that was into God, which ended up firing him later because he was stealing from us. But him and I met once a week to talk about God because I knew I needed to get back into God. And this is part of my story, so that's why I'll talk about it for just a second. But, being gay, I never thought that there was a place for me. Wow, I didn't realize how bad it bothered me. Talk amongst yourselves. Ursula, you're a lifesaver. So anyway, Alrighty. I spilled my water. I know, right? Oh, I'm sorry.
Good comic relief.
Oh, yeah.
Big tears.
God does have a funny sense of humor. I had close family members, you know, pretty much tell me that I would go to hell if I didn't change my ways. So, that was a big deal to me. I mean, like, you know, I did the whole foxhole pray every once in a while. Help me get a good grade on this test, you know, or, especially when I started wrecking things and, you know, whatever it was, you guys know the foxhole prayer, you know, help me get out of this one. But I just, you know, that's what I would, you know, you weren't raised that way, Ashley. You weren't raised that way. So I just didn't think that there was any room for me anywhere. So this guy and I started talking once a week, and, you know, he just, I don't know, different look about, thank you. Just in case. different ways of looking about, you know, about God or whatever, you know. But once again, like I said, we fired him later because he was stealing from us. He's doing well, though. So I would go home and I'd read these books that he gave me, you know, with my beer because I'm reading. It's not my problem. This isn't my problem, you know. So June rolls around. I'm done with that. We're still meeting once a week talking about God. I'm getting, you know, I'm using the things that he's telling me at work and stuff. It got me through the last couple of weeks because, you know, they don't appreciate me there. But anyway, I did my jail time. I did my community service. I did my DUI class all in July because I was this time last year. You guys get that. Heading up to Virginia Beach to take care of my sisters. Already talking to her about on Sundays, can I just have Sunday off so that I can drink? She even told me where, because I got a restricted license. Excuse me, I got a restricted license within a month because all the money I'd saved up to go to New Zealand, I just was like, here. can I drive, you know, and I think I set the record for the most, the fastest time. I'm just kidding, to get your restricted license, but anyway, I was already setting up things with her. There was a bar within walking distance, because she's like, you're not going to be driving. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be driving. Okay, well, there's, you know, the brass bell is within walking. It doesn't even have windows. It doesn't even have windows, you know. Like, I was getting all excited about this place, because that's what I did on Sundays before I started managing was, you know, I'd drink. I was talking to her today, and I was just so grateful. I mean, I did yard work today, and just all kinds of cool things. I've been up since 8:30. You know what I mean? I'd never did that. I'd roll out of bed at 10:30. I'd go to the bar that I worked at because that's the only place I knew, you know, pretty much. And, it's 4 o'clock, I think, when I was talking to her. I'd have been drinking for 5 hours by then, you know. I'd have drank with every single one of my servers that got cut. You know, wait for me. Don't leave. Wait for me. Have a beer with me. Of course I will. Come on. And a shot. Come on. And because that was a big deal for me, is that I could drink, you know what I mean? At least I thought I could, you know what I mean? It sure didn't probably look that great on the outside to everybody else, but I thought I could put some alcohol away, and I counted most of the time. I'd count, be like, yep, I sure did put a 12-pack away last night. Ended up alone in my bed once again, but I sure did put a 12, on my front porch by myself. You know, I have no friends, you know, nobody wants to hang out with me. But anyway, I did my community service, I did my jail time. I can remember going to an AA meeting in jail because I got the maximum. I blew a .23, I got a maximum reduced to 4 days in jail for your first offense, DUI. And I can remember them talking about the guys. They'd been in there for months, and they were talking about how, well, it's different, you know. We don't have it around us here. You know, what's it going to be like when we get out? And I'm like, there's this thing called 2-for-1. You serve two half your time, you get out in half your time. And I did. I got 2-for-1. Well, I didn't know if I was getting it or not. I thought I was in there for 4 days. And Friday morning rolls around, and this is Thursday night, and I'm like, okay, they're talking about not being able to go straight to a meeting. Okay, well, I don't have a problem. I don't need to go straight to a meeting. But if I could make it till Sunday, because Sunday is the time that I'm supposed to be out, I wouldn't be drinking anyway, right? Because I'm supposed to be in jail till Sunday. If I can make it till Sunday, If I please let me get out tomorrow morning, and I won't drink until Sunday. I got out at 9:30, 10:30. I was already starting on a 12-pack after I'd gone to the bathroom, because it's really not cool to go to the bathroom in jail. But anyway, whatever. So then I go to DUI class, and DUI class is not just class. It is an evaluation to see if you need help, and I didn't know that, and I was screwed from the moment that I walked in. But actually, let me back up, because my last drink was that a week after I got out of jail, which would have been that Sunday. So a week after, not that Sunday that I thought I'd get out, you know, was get out, but it was a week after that. And you know, my general manager that I thought could do a better job than him got fired, and so we had a big, you know, party for him, because that's what you do when someone gets fired, is you don't go find a job, you have a big, huge party for a week, and then you get really loaded on the last night and say that tomorrow you'll start looking for a job. So we had a big party, and that was, you know, I even tried to pace myself, kind of thing, like, I'm going to pace myself, you know, 5 beers, 2 shots of whiskey, it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and I just got over there. And so I put the stuff, you know, I put it down, I start eating. It's not good, you know. I mean, the plan to stay at his house didn't last. I remember 10:45, the plan was to stay at his house. And it was, we had a big bonfire outside, and it was 10:45 is the last time that I looked at my clock. And I woke up in my bed at my house, 10 miles down the road, completely naked. And it was 2:07 in the afternoon, and I really couldn't figure out how I got there, kind of thing, obviously. I had to talk to something, my face was swollen. I mean, I'm so glad they didn't breathalyze us that night. That was the first night of DUI class. But I was freaked out. I was so scared because, you know, I had driven twice prior to that. So my DUI, not going to drive again. Now I've driven twice, and then this, and I blacked out. I was supposed to stay at his house. I got out of the house, into my truck, and made it all the way here. I have no idea how I got here. I mean, that's, one, that's amazing that you can do that, but, I mean, that's crazy. I didn't hit anybody. I mean, for weeks, I was on the internet looking to see if there were hit and runs in Nashville, Tennessee that on that day, on that, you know, whether it was if they were reporting Sunday or if they were reporting Monday. I mean, I just, you know, obsessed about that. You know, I just, it freaked me out. And then, of course, they show you the videos, you know, in DUI class. But once again, it was evaluation. My friends told me that I had, because I asked them, I said, I have no idea how I got home. And they said, well, you were up, you were around about 11:45, 12 o'clock, you were still talking to people, and then we put you to bed. And then that was the last that they knew. So, so the DUI class was an evaluation. They base it on, what you blew and something else. I don't know, but I thought everybody drank like I did because I surrounded myself with people that drank like I did. And I have to be honest, or else I will eat myself up. You know, it'll eat me up that I wasn't honest. So I was honest about how much do you drink. I was looking at the kid beside me, and I'm going, 8 beers on a Wednesday night. Nothing on a Wednesday night. You know, like, okay, it's starting to make sense that I probably shouldn't have been honest. when I filled out the questionnaires and stuff, and I mean, I think I scored like the highest, maybe you have a problem, but the highest, like, red flag, this file, we need to talk to her. But once again, I'm the only one that can say I'm an alcoholic. So class is over with, and I'm just, you know, I'm now, what, 4 days sober. I haven't had a drink because I scared the crap out of myself, you know, just on Sunday. And I'm supposed to be leaving that Saturday to come to Virginia Beach to take care of my three nephews. So my brother-in-law is on a plane on Friday. He's going to stay with us Friday night. We're getting my stuff loaded up and gone on Saturday. I didn't talk to any of the people that I partied with for the past 4 years. I basically couldn't, you know, how did I get, did you drive me home? 2 days later, did you drive me home? You know, nothing. Look, you know, I got to get this class out of the way and then I'm hitting the road. So I'll see you guys, you know, maybe in August or something when I come back from my dad's wedding. But I, you know, and since, you know, over the past year, it is, I don't really speak to any of the people that I hung out with much. But, so the guy's like, you need help. And you're going to go to treatment, and you're going to go to some AA meetings. Well, he allowed me to do treatment in Virginia, because I was like, my brother-in-law's already on a plane. So I get into Virginia on Sunday. Monday I do nothing. Tuesday I called the intergroup office, and I went to a meeting Tuesday night. And that's what started the being rocketed into the fourth dimension. So it was a Navy sailor who had retired, and he was probably 100 years old, who shared his story that night, and all I wanted to do was cry. You know, like, I still was looking up to see if I'd killed anybody. You know, and then I got sent to, you know, because they attack you. You know, that's what we do. We attack the newcomer, you know. And they swarmed around me. All I wanted to do was get out the back, because that's all I could do. If anybody talked to me about drinking or anything, I just cried. You know what I mean? And I got a whole bunch of numbers, and which I never used, and I got a whole bunch of lists of meetings and stuff. They broke out, and if anybody's ever been into Virginia Beach, or just that area, what is it, like seven cities? There's like over a million, you know, meetings that you can go to in the week. So everybody's circling their favorite ones, you know, and I'm just like, there is no way that I'm going to all these. I only have to get 24 signed. You know, I only have to get, be Billy Hill signed my paper once when I came up here to visit. Do you remember that? I don't know if you did. He probably, and I hated that too, you know? It was like, I'm here because I'm an alcoholic, here's my paper, you know? Like, oh, you're only here because you're getting it signed, you know? That's how I felt, you know? Like, I wasn't good enough to go to closed meetings. I felt like that, you know? I didn't take my paper sometimes because I didn't want them to think that I was only there because I had to get the paper signed. I wanted them to think I was there because I was really there. I'm really an alcoholic, you know? I was going to be a part of. But so they showed me, and they circled some young people's meetings. And so Wednesday night was a young people's meeting, and Thursday night was a young people's meeting. And Wednesday night, let's see, there's 9 days sober, okay? And Wednesday night, this lady comes up, or, you know, smoking outside, and, you know, everybody smokes, and that's great, and this is awesome, and coffee, and but I'm still just feeling like, you know, just don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me. Nobody, just, I went in, and I can remember we talked about going out and coming back in, and that was about it. And I got up to go throw my coffee cup away, and the chairperson turned around, and she goes, thanks for coming. I'm Jen. And I was just like, I don't want to live like this anymore. And, I mean, I did, and then all these other ladies came around, and I was like, I'm glad this didn't happen last night, but, all these other ladies came around, and they were, you know, all within my age, and they were talking about, you know, same things that I was, that I thought I was the only person that, you know, had these things go on, you know, and so I thought I had to get a sponsor, and I'm sitting there just spilling my life story to this lady, you know, and I could tell, or, I mean, I don't know, I feel like she wasn't interested whatsoever. She just was like, you know, keep coming back. But, 2 or 3 days later, well, she said meet me at this other young people's meeting, and that was a Thursday night meeting, and I went, and I mean, I feel like the room was like the length of a football field, you know what I mean? And I was like 2 minutes early, 2 minutes, you know, now it's like, you know, you get to a meeting 30 minutes early, and you have, I like got there almost, I thought they were, and I hated it too, I hated walking in late, but I barely got there in time, and I sat way, 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 way in the back. And I just felt like it was so long. And now when I go to that meeting, it's like there's a ton of people that go, but it's like a room with so many people. You know, it's like the room is smaller. But 2 or 3 days later, I'm still talking to this lady because she gave me her phone number. And eventually, I asked her to be my sponsor. Actually, I didn't ask her. I said, can you help me? And she said, I'm okay with being your sponsor. It was something like that. And I was like, cool, awesome. And I can remember telling her, too, man, I sure wish I would have went out with a bang, you know, like, I really wish that, like, my last, I remember telling her that, I was like, I really wish my last drink was like, all right, well, it's going to be the last one, you know, and so that I could remember it, you know, I just don't really remember that last one, and, so we got going, we got started going in the book, reading through the book, and, I think about 18 days sober, I get attacked again by this other lady. And I'm outside, because, you know, it's really cool what we talk about in AA, to get going, you know, to get the conversation going. I'm sitting there outside of a meeting and just smoking, seeing if anybody's going to invite me to go eat dinner with them later, because you've got to come to me, I'm not going to come to you. And then she did. By God, she came to me, and she's like, so, didn't I see you at that meeting last night? And I was like, yeah, you sure did. And she's like, is that your home group? I was like, no. Are you new? Yeah, kind of. I mean, I've got like 17. This is 18 days today. And why are you here? You know? And I'm like, well, I have to come. I got to get this paper signed. And DUI. She's like, really? Would you blow? And I'm like, 2.23. Would you blow? Because I knew that was high. You know what I mean? And she goes, a 0.43. And I was like, oh my God. So we hit it off real well. You know, like, definitely sharing some stories that, you know, we definitely drank alike, we definitely did the same things, it was awesome, you know what I mean? And the thing is, like, I've heard people talk about how they're so scared of what they would share with their sponsor, but yet their sponsor has done worse things, but then they think that they haven't, but their sponsor has done worse things, you know, or whatever, and, I mean, you know, she's been through a lot, you know, and, definitely grounded in the big book. And actually, I didn't tell you that. So the first lady was my sponsor for like 4 months. I didn't want her to be my sponsor anymore after I met the second lady, but I didn't know how to do that. And the last time I broke up with a girl, I had 3 beers in like 15 minutes and a pack of cigarettes before I could even do it. So it took me like 3 months to get rid of this one. And But it was, you know, it was like this, though. I mean, it was hard, you know, and it was like, because I was taking care of my nephews, and that was a lot of, so much fun. It was a lot of fun, and it was, I'm so glad I was sober when I did it. I can't imagine. I used to think about it, too, like, as the days would go by, like, you know, I'd get the urge at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, you know, I only drank in the morning when it was, like, my day off, because it was cool to do that, you know, or if it was before Thanksgiving and I had to go see my family, you know, those kinds of things, but I would call this lady because she didn't have a job either, and we talked for hours. We talked for 30 minutes, and then like the kid would go, one of the kids was in the litter box or something, I don't know, or he's outside, so I'd have to go, you know, and you know, I was talking to her all day long, and we would go to meetings together. She didn't have a car, so I was giving her rides, and we'd go to meetings together, and I'd call my sponsor because she wanted me to call her every day. I'd call my sponsor and be like, oh, God, I get so anxious when I call her because I didn't want her to be my sponsor anymore, but I didn't know what to do. Yeah, the day's great. It's awesome. Everything's good. Good. Yeah, I've talked to two other alcoholics today. Yes, mm-hmm. Good. Okay, you have a good night, too. You know that. I couldn't be honest with her. I couldn't be honest with her about anything. And so then, I don't know. I think I had about 2 months sober, but 2 months and 60 days aren't the same thing when you're new into sobriety. You got to count days, right? Oh, I forgot to tell you. I went to my dad's wedding, and I had like 30 days sober. I just picked up 30 days, and I went to the wedding, and I'm so proud, you know, and it talks about in the book that we, you know, we're going to shout it from the rooftops. I think I was on top of the Empire State Building when I was, you know, the first couple of months, and I, you know, I'd still be like that too, I guess, but hopefully it's a different way, but whatever, I'm still working on all that, or I'm letting God, I'm helping, you know, asking God to help me. I'm not just saying that, I am, you know, it's just hard. For 29 years, I controlled everything I did in my life. Now, it's hard to sometimes give over, but, so I, showed my dad my, medallion, my 30, you know, he's like, look at, he put his glasses on, oh, that's awesome. You know, I never had a problem with alcohol. I was like, man, he took it out and pushed it. Just, really? Are you serious? I've done so good. I haven't had a drink in 30 days. 33 now. You know, so we count days. And but anyway, I got into a relationship that, you know, is frowned upon. You know, some, I don't know. Talks about in the big book that, you know, our sex conduct is, you know, judged by God and God alone. We leave that, you know, we put it out there, we talk about it, you know, what we used to be like, what we'd like to be, what our ideas, they're going to change. And my sponsor didn't like, well, she said it was okay at first, and then a couple of days later didn't like it. And that's when I really didn't think that I could be honest with my sponsor, because I couldn't talk to her about something that I thought, this is all me, that I thought that she didn't accept. And so that even made it even more, it just more harder. Yeah, you know, I know, right? Jeez. So anyway, I'm still, you know, I'm still taking care of the boys. I'm doing AA. I'm going every single night that I can. I mean, if anything, I miss one night a week. Sometimes I go two times on Saturday and two times on Sunday. In the relationship, it's, you know, it's good, it's going on or whatever, you know, and I'm finding it harder and harder and harder to talk to my sponsor. I got all the way to the eighth step, and I'm having issues with the stuff she's telling me and then the stuff that I'm talking with to this other lady, because the stuff she's telling me is not all from the big book, it's from other sources, and I'm getting confused. And so, needless to say, finally, I couldn't be honest with her. I was confused with some of the stuff and that we were going over because it was other sources other than the big book. And so I got this other lady to be my sponsor. And we went back to step three, and we've since worked all the way through. But I can remember, you know, talking about how I was ready for step four, and we hadn't even gotten into the book yet, and I was ready for step four. I'd already done the first three, you know, because I had a relationship with God kind of thing, you know, and she just laughed at me and said, we'll get started. We'll start going through it. We'll read through it. You know, and that first sponsor, you know, she helped me form a new idea, a new understanding, a new thought process, whatever openness of what God was. You know, I thought God, caused the DUI. I thought God, let these bad things in my life happen, you know, like, whatever they were, I thought God did those things. I didn't realize that that was actually a lack of God in my life. I didn't realize that those things were because I was in control, and it was just a lack of God. So the first sponsor that I had helped me, you know, she's like, you know, I don't think God puts us, tests us. I don't think he does that. You know, that's just how I believe, you know, and I started thinking about that, and it just makes sense, you know, like all those things that I ever did, it's because I did them, you know, and it definitely is different with God in my life, you know what I mean? It's definitely different when I ask God to show me, you know, every morning how I can be useful and helpful and just to be of maximum service to him and then the people I work with, because they can be just annoying sometimes, you know what I mean? And but at the same time, when people are annoying, like yesterday, I go to work and bam, I'm hit with just annoyance and whatever. And am I going to be like this all night? Because see, I like to don't talk, like I don't like to talk to you, I want attention from you, but I don't want you to come and ask me what's wrong. Because then it's like, leave me, now I've got to talk to you. But I wanted, does that make sense? I wanted the attention the whole time. But yesterday I'm hit with that, and I'm like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I know I'm not, so what am I going to do? I got to act in the right thinking. You know what I mean? I'm not going to just all of a sudden do the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, I got to do the action, and then that right thinking will come along. And I believe that's definitely worked, you know, whether it's going into the bathroom and saying a prayer. You know, I don't want to be here right now, but I've got to for the next 8 hours. You show me how to be of maximum service. You know, this is not about me. This is about this company. This is about what my job is here. And show me how to do that, you know. And the patience, the love, the tolerance that I would grant a sick friend. You know, we talk about that four-step prayer all the time. That helps, you know, that helps me, like, sometimes on a daily basis, you know, like, because people are blocked not only by, you know, alcohol or resentments or, you know, everything that goes along with alcohol, resentments, fear, like we are. I mean, my mom, she's not an alcoholic, but she's definitely blocked by something. And for a really long time, you know, five minutes at a time, you know, like, that was it. That was our conversations, you know, twice a year. And now, you know, we can talk for 45 minutes. We can talk for, you know, we can talk about things other than, you know, past stuff. You know, we can talk about, you know, when you're coming to visit or whatever. And it's, you know, those things, I mean, this, I can pick it up. One of my favorite lines in there is, stick, it's not verbatim, but, you know, stick close to God and you know, he's got your back. I mean, that's my words, but, you know, it's in there with the, I don't know, in How It Works or something like that. And perform his work well, you know. And, you know, like I said, I've been through all the steps, and when I did get to the ninth step, I haven't made all my amends yet, but I have done my family and a couple of people outside, like close friends, best friends, things like that. And I just made my amends to my dad about a month ago when I went to his went to go see him. And, you know, I got asked this morning, do I get excited when I go home? Well, I've only been back to Nashville a couple of times, and it's been quick trips. And I get excited, I get nervous, and I get anxious because it's new, you know? I mean, I don't want to be that person that I was before, and, you know, I get worried and all of, you know, I'm self-obsessed about how I'm going to be, you know, and it's so weird because for so long, you know, it took me 5-6 months to realize what irritable, restless, and discontented mean. You know, I think 7 months sober before I realized I actually did have a jumping off point, you know, where I couldn't live with it, I couldn't live without it, because, you know, what about Thanksgiving and Christmas? I drank every day, what do those 2 days matter, you know? And, I've learned a lot in this program and in these rooms. And, you know, when I did, that relationship lasted a little bit longer, and that's what I came to visit Billy Hill, because she moved up here. came to this meeting, and I think I was about 3 months sober when I came up here. But anyway, eventually moved up here because that I didn't need to stay down there any longer because the boys got potty trained in school, and I didn't have a job. I was unemployed. So, and my sister didn't go to Kuwait. She actually stayed. She actually is going this fall. But so I moved up here, and I started judging the crap out of everybody around here because nobody knew how to get sober like I did. You know what I mean? And my sponsor said, you know, you start judging everybody, you're pretty much judging God, because that's where you're going to find God, is, you know, through everybody, and your relationship's only going to get stronger if, you know, you meet people. And, well, whatever, it's your experience, you know. Everything's my experience, you know. You can't just tell me what to do. I mean, my whole life, I've, you know, pretty much told everybody to shut up because I've got this. And now it's like, please tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. Please, I don't know what to do. You're 30, so tell me what to do, you know. Well, that's about it. I mean, I think we're almost out of time. But just that, I mean, it took me a long time to realize in AA that, you know, I hear all these horror stories about things that happen, and, you know, that's their story. My story was just that I felt like a piece of crap my whole entire life, you know, and I try these things. I'm brilliant, talented, whatever, you know. I mean, these are things that I would go on for a while, you know, because that's what people, you know, whatever. And, but I would always just feel just crappy all the time, and I mean, you know, those people that I hung out with down in Virginia Beach, and you know, even Jody, like, just watching them, and, like, what is it, you know, what's going on there, you know, like, because AA wasn't going to work for me, you know. I tried everything else, it wasn't going to work for me. And, but all these people, man, they got sober at 18. Are you freaking crazy? I was just getting started, you know. Got sober at 21. What? I downed a bottle of vodka when I was 21, you know. Come on. You know, I didn't get it. And, I wanted it. I wanted whatever it was, you know. And whew, if it wasn't for patience, you know, or, you know, just to keep coming back. God, it gets on my nerves sometimes, you know, when people say that. But it's the truth, you know. Like, keep coming back, man. Limited objectives. I can do anything, as long as I'm doing it with God, you know what I mean? And I understand that now. And it's amazing. It's awesome. It really is. Okay, I guess I'm out of time. All right, I'm done.